I wanted to have you talk a little bit more about a few of the other bills. I see you've had several that have been kind of in front of committee hearings and at different stages. So wanted to have you give us a little bit of an update on some of the bills you've worked on that are have either made their way to the general file debate or that are still awaiting their committee hearings.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any particular of interest to you, or if you just want me to sort of pick a few out here. But,
yeah, just some of those that maybe are seeing more discussion, and some of those bills that you feel like have a little bit more weight.
Yeah, certainly. One of the bills I introduced this year that we actually have that did make it to general. It passed general and went on to select is LB 816. It's peer-to-peer support. State Patrol actually brought that to me, and it is just asking a lot of our emergency responders, whether it be State Patrol, EMS, firefighters, they oftentimes will have what they call a peer-to-peer support team already in place, and so they identify, other individuals that might go through a little bit of an informal training or however they want to set it up on their own, but they'll have a peer-to-peer support team, and that's really there to help identify some of their peers who might be in crisis. That they just bring them in and talk things through, try to I don't want to say de-escalate, but help them sort through some of the whether it was an accident that they witnessed or it could be issues going on in their personal life. But it's intended to sort of be preventative in nature for not waiting until somebody is really in a full mental health crisis, trying to intervene prior to that. It's been found, and this makes sense, that you're going to be more comfortable talking to somebody who understands the work you do, is working right alongside of you. So that's what the peer-to-peer support teams are. What the bill does is simply provides for those conversations to be privileged. So to explain that, we're all familiar with attorney-client privilege, right? Those are privileged conversations, or your conversations with your doctor are privileged. So this would give that same kind of immunity to those peer-to-peer support conversations. It does not, however, prevent them from still having to report if there's been, for those basic, if there's abuse or if there'd been a crime committed, those same provisions that would exist in other cases as well. But just trying to make it easier and more meaningful for those peer-to-peer support dynamics to help people, quite honestly. So that's going to be on select file here soon. In fact, I haven't looked at my agenda for tomorrow. It might be on there for tomorrow. A couple other things. Fentanyl. I introduced a bill for to enhance penalties for fentanyl dealers. Currently, we have other drugs, a class of drugs, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, that the penalties can be enhanced based on weight, how much weight of those they are they're intending to distribute. But fentanyl never fit in there, had it never been updated to be included in that. And, we've seen such a dramatic rise of fentanyl deaths in not just Nebraska, but the United States. And so we're just behind in making sure that we can penalize and punish those distributors of fentanyl the same way we're able to do with cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin. And so that is actually probably going to be on the agenda either tomorrow or the next day. It is set to be filibustered, believe it or not. A lot of the folks, a lot of the Democrats down there they oppose any sort of penalty enhancement, doesn't matter what it is. So they're going to filibuster it, and we're going to have to fight to get that across the line. But we have the votes, so we're just going to have to take a little time.
Well, that makes that's just common sense with a drug that probably kills at a higher rate than any of those others that already have the enhanced penalties. Mm-hmm. That just makes a lot of sense for there to be more accountability.
100%, yeah, absolutely. And so, it's frustrating that it's being challenged, but we'll get it done. I also have a bill to, enhance penalties for domestic assault. And the brief explanation there is what they call straight assault, so non-domestic assault. Straight assault is basically, you know, you beat somebody up that you don't know, right? Domestic assault is when there's a familiar or intimate relationship. And those straight assault penalties were enhanced back, I think, in 2009, but they failed to bring a domestic assault along with that. So as crazy as this sounds, if you, we use the most extreme example, if you kill somebody you don't know, you're subject to higher penalties than if you went home and killed your partner, your husband or wife. So, again, doesn't make sense. so we're just getting those aligned so prosecutors are able to prosecute folks that have committed domestic assault to the same extent they can prosecute straight assault. That's likely to end up in a package of other domestic violence-related bills. One that's just sort of kind of fun, but of interest, particularly to constituents out here in the 43rd District, is LB 977. It's called Rules of the Road for Animals. So the short version is it's giving cattle and livestock the right-of-way on the road. So if you're moving somebody, as we often see done out here, if you're moving livestock down the road, usually it's not far. You know, you might have to be on the highway for a half a mile or a mile or so, but if a vehicle comes up behind you that this puts into statute that they've got to give the right-of-way to the livestock and slow down if the folks herding livestock ask them to, or, you know, give them a sign, whether it's a flag or a, you know, kind of put your hand up to tell people to stop or whatever that may be. This is common sense for most of us out here. I know when they brought me the bill, I'm like, I mean, people don't do that. that's just, we all know to do that.
Right.
But the more and more detached our society becomes from agriculture, the fewer people understand that that's what you do. So we have to put that in law. So that bill, we should get that. I got that out of committee, and so we're hoping, I actually asked for that to be a speaker priority because it didn't have any opposition, so we're hoping that becomes a speaker priority bill. A couple other things that are regarding fraud. Have a bill, actually the Bankers Association has asked me to carry for them, and you get a lot more phone calls these days, whether it's your landline or your cell phone, and it looks like it's a local number, and you answer it, and it's not. It's a scammer, right? This is a growing problem. Financial institutions in particular are losing, because people, it can be a scam where they're asking for information that ultimately lets them take money right out of your checking account or a savings account, your banking institution. This is costing individuals and banking institutions millions and millions of dollars a year here in Nebraska. And so this is really just, there's no liability piece into the bill. It's just this sort of putting our telecom industry on notice that they have a duty to protect from these scammers and these calls, fraudulent calls getting through as well. And that technology changes practically daily. So it doesn't specify what technology they have to use, but that they need to be doing their due diligence to try and prevent those scam calls. The other one I might mention that may end up, we haven't identified our priorities yet, bills, but this may end up on my short list, but it's regarding AI chatbots. So that is, in essence, ChatGPT would be an example, Grok. Those are a couple of the more familiar ones. And it is wild how quickly this has changed. So AI technology, obviously, there's a ton of benefits. It's changing the faces of many, many industries and workplaces. But one of the dangers is there are people that ultimately get on there, they almost develop a relationship with the chatbot as if it's another person, but it's not, right? And there have been a growing number of incidents where the AI chatbot is offering advice to people of how to kill themselves or how to commit a crime, how to hurt either themselves or other people. And so what this bill does is requires those technology companies to, A, have and publish a safety plan for how they're putting guardrails around when those things happen, identifying when it happens and then what they do about it. Then they must self-report to law enforcement. In this case, it would be the Attorney General. If someone has used their AI chatbot to get information to try and hurt themselves or someone else, and if it is discovered that that has occurred, and it puts whistleblower protections in place, so if someone within the company knows it's happening and they're not reporting it, that they're protected if they report it to the Attorney General. So this is just trying to put some guardrails around situations that are really emerging quite quickly that could be very dangerous both to individuals and to society as a whole.
Well, I'm sure we'll see many more of those as quickly as that technology is moving. I appreciate your time, Tanya. We'll try to catch up again down the road. Maybe next time we'll visit about the budget shortfall and some of the things that will happen there. But we've certainly taken up enough of your time. We appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll visit again down the road.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity and love it when we're able to just visit and get people some information about what's going on in Lincoln. So never hesitate to reach out to my office. Like I said, we don't know what we don't know, so sometimes situations arise within communities that require immediate attention that we're not aware of. So please always feel welcome to call or visit our office there in Lincoln.
That's 43rd District State Senator Tanya Storer joining us on KBRB.